You have no doubt seen old black and white film of Nazi concentration camps back in World War II. Today, we're seeing that scene playing out painfully in full color where ISIS has planted their reign of terror as the Obama administration and others make really one mistake after another regarding how to deal with ISIS. My next guest joins us to present the human cost in all of this. He is a Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, author of Destination Jerusalem, ISIS Convert or Die, Christian Persecution, Preparing for the Days Ahead, Chris Mitchell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris. Great to be with you.
And we have a direct link over to Chris Mitchell's website, but you can start off at CBN.com to get some of the factual reporting instead of the spin and the pandering that too many others in the media, unfortunately, want to do. And, Chris, in Destination Jerusalem, you write pretty much about the human, political, and the faith aspect of what's happening in the Middle East and, in turn, in other countries, Europe as well as here. I want to start with the human side of the situation because you've been there firsthand with the refugee camps, with the people of Israel and elsewhere. What is it about the human side of this whole terror spread and ISIS that we in the States really need to gain a better understanding about?
Well, Chris, I think people need to understand, first of all, maybe what the choices were the Christians were given when they were face-to-face with ISIS. When we were there in Kurdistan and many of the Christians fled Mosul, which is ancient Nineveh, and then the surrounding areas, they were telling us they were giving four choices. The first choice they had was that they could leave the home that they had lived in for maybe for years or generations. The second choice they had was they could stay, but that they would have to pay what's called the jizya tax. So this is an Islamic tax for non-Muslims or infidels. The third choice they had, they could convert. They could leave their Christian faith and deny the Lord and become a Muslim by saying what's called the Shahada, the Islamic creed in front of two witnesses. The fourth choice they had, they could die by the sword. And so, you know, this was the choice that many people had. And, you know, some of the other stories we had of when they would leave an ISIS-controlled area, they would take their medicine, they would take their IDs, their passports. So some people right now have no identity, you know, official identity, and they're just living right now sort of in limbo with no country they can go to.
We are told by some that ISIS is not Islam. Islam is a religion of peace. There's a bridge between the two, and it's called the Quran. And the Quran is, and it's not like someone twisting the Christian Bible to do some radical action. The Quran states what it states, and ISIS seems to be adhering very passionately to what the Quran states.
I think if, as somebody said, I heard somebody say this the other day, if Muhammad came back now, and if they looked at ISIS, they would probably win the prize for being the most Islamic. There's a chapter in the book in Destination Jerusalem, and it's called Know Your Enemy. And when, in September of 2014, President Obama came out and spoke about ISIS, he said they were not Islamic. What we did is we cited at least two former Muslims. One is a man named Brother Rashid. He has a program that speaks to Muslims throughout the Islamic world. Another lady, Noni Darwish, and both of them grew up in Islam, and especially Brother Rashid says ISIS goes by the letter of the Quran, and they also follow the example of Muhammad by beheading people down to the wristwatch they put on their wrist, to the beards they grow. They are following the prescribed standard in the Quran, and people need to know that that's exactly many times what Islam is doing.
Chris Mitchell, who's the Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, author of the book Destination Jerusalem, ISIS, Convert or Die, Christian Persecution, Preparing for the Days Ahead, CBN.com on the web. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned three aspects of your book, Human, Political, and Faith, and you mentioned Barack Obama. Compare and contrast how Obama approaches ISIS and what's happening in the Middle East versus what Benjamin Netanyahu, how his systematic approach is.
Well, it seems like President Obama, in not only in that September 2014 speech, but he followed that with a speech at the United Nations where he talked about Islam being a peaceful religion. On the other hand, Benjamin Netanyahu spoke again at the same United Nations General Assembly platform, and he cited verbatim some of the quotes from leaders like Halad Mashal from Hamas, who talked about Islam taking over the world. He talked about, you know, leaders of Iran threatening to eliminate the Jewish state. And so while Obama seems to be appeasing Islam and being an apologist for Islam, Netanyahu, you know, sees clearly and can quote verbatim exactly what Islamic leaders from Hamas to Iran to ISIS are saying about what they really want to do. And one of the things I've learned a long time ago, Chris, and a man who actually leads Memory, which is a Middle East media research institute, and what they do is that they use verbatim speeches or TV clips throughout the Islamic world, and they said the important thing is to listen to what they say in their own language, whether it's Arabic or Urdu or Farsi, and that's what they really mean, not what you hear sometimes in English for Western consumption. And so that's pretty much the difference, and it's stark between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu in terms of the way they perceive Islam.
Does Netanyahu see himself, not egotistically, but biblically, I guess you could say, as having a role in the stage of the era that we're in right now?
Oh, very much so. And I quote that in the book. There was a example we had in Moscow, and we, CBN News, went up with the traveling press when he was going to meet with Vladimir Putin, and just setting the context, this was just a few weeks before one of the interim agreements that was done in Switzerland about the Iran nuclear program. And before that, Netanyahu went up there to try to convince Putin not to sign that interim agreement. It failed, but during that time in Moscow, we, the press, had an opportunity to sit for a background briefing with Netanyahu. And I had the opportunity to ask him a question about, did he see himself almost historically in a way like Winston Churchill in the 1930s? And at that time in the 1930s, Winston Churchill was like a voice crying in the wilderness against Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler. And now Netanyahu, in many ways, I think, sees himself in a similar situation as a voice crying in the wilderness against Iran's nuclear program and the threat it poses not just to the Jewish state, but to the Western world, and especially to the United States. And I really do think he feels like he's been called to Israel for such a time as this.
We're having our time with Chris Mitchell from CBN News. He's their Middle East Bureau Chief, as well as author of Destination Jerusalem, ISIS, Convert or Die, and Christian Persecution, Preparing for the Days Ahead, here on Issues and Ideas. Chris writes, too, he mentioned that almost as an aside, but as a way of life in Israel, in certain towns you have maybe a minute or 2 minutes once the air raid sirens run in the southern part of the country. You literally have 15 seconds, and if you're a mother with two children, you have to make a choice of which child to take to the bomb shelter with you sometimes, which the human side of the spread of terrorism is frightening but factual, and that's what Chris writes about in Destination Jerusalem. Do you believe when we hear when ISIS leaders, Hamas leaders to the same degree, hear Obama say what he does, hear Americans dismiss the growing number of homegrown terrorists that are leaving America to join ISIS and the same thing over in Europe, and they're dismissed as lone wolves, which so many of them, I can't imagine how you can call them lone wolves anymore. Does that, in fact, the way all that's dismissed, empower the terrorists?
I think it does, and I think it kind of muddies the water, and I think you have to remember that President Obama is not a theologian, he's a politician, so I think he has political reasons for doing and saying what he's doing, but I think it's important to exactly see what they are saying in their own language and understand and how it compares to what the Quran says. So this does, I think, muddy the water, and as well, as you point out, I think it empowers the terrorists and doesn't give, I think, people in the West sort of the understanding that they need to know their enemy. And that's one of the things that we talk about in the book, is how important it is to know your enemy. And when you hear comments like Obama said that ISIS is not Islamic, it, I think, undermines people in the West and emboldens people here in the Middle East.
Last question, and again, I mentioned human, political, and faith aspects of your book, Destination Jerusalem. Having being a Christian, studying the Bible as I continually do, it's a never-ending study, obviously. All things revolve around Jerusalem as we approach the end times. Is that the time that we're approaching?
I think so, exactly. I think, And that's why I titled the book Destination Jerusalem, because we see increasingly the focus and attention of the world on the city of Jerusalem. For example, we note in the book that ISIS sees Jerusalem as a future capital of their caliphate. The caliphate meaning this Islamic entity ruled by Sharia law. And so they see Jerusalem as their destination. And the Jewish people, obviously, they have an attachment to Jerusalem that goes back 3,000 or 4,000 years. And now that they are in control of Jerusalem, I think it's very unlikely they will ever give up. And also Christians are seeing Jerusalem as something to pray for. It says in Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I think we're seeing Christians around the world, this great crescendo of prayer, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And so you could say that 2,000 years ago, all roads led to Rome, but I think 2,000 years later, all roads are leading to Jerusalem.
And this, as the U.S. State Department and Obama administration policy dictates, that Jerusalem is not to be recognized through documents of passports and this and the like as any part of Israel.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and they just made that ruling, and it was affirmed by the Supreme Court just a few weeks ago when a Jewish family brought their appeal to the Supreme Court, and they don't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, even though it's been the capital here for since 1980 officially in the modern state of Israel, and it was established by King David about 3,000 years ago.
Incredible. What you have been getting through most of the media is a, albeit terrorizing and sad situation regarding the Middle East and the impact of ISIS. It has really been superficial versus what Chris writes in Destination Jerusalem, ISIS, Convert or Die, Christian Persecution, Preparing for the Days Ahead, and Preparation, Knowledge of the Enemy, Action Against the Enemy. There are some signs of hope through the Kurds, but a lot more still needs to be done to make ISIS realize that they're the ones on the side of a losing battle versus the way they're thinking. CBN.com to see more of Chris's work. It's a must-read book, Destination Jerusalem. Chris Mitchell, Middle East Bureau Chief for CBN News, thanks so much for bringing the world the truth and for being here this morning.
Chris, it's great to be with you.